Recruiting Animal here on November 30th, 2011. It's snowing in Toronto. It's also snowing in Indiana. And Jerry Albright is telling me that his participation in the show might be a bit staggered because of that. But you know what? Today.
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hello, who's this?
We need to call back in.
Okay, I'm back in. Recruiting Animal is going to – don't make me cut everybody off. I'm going to finish my intro. I got cursed. I just said I didn't care if Jerry's phone was cut off by the snow when I got disconnected. But anyway, let me pick up where I left off. My guest today is Jennifer McClure. Jennifer McClure, former Cincy recruiter. Jennifer recently left executive recruiting and turned herself into one of the leading ladies, you might say, of social recruiting. So when I was preparing to speak to her today, I did a search for articles about social recruiting. And lo and behold, I came upon one by Jennifer's good friend, Amy Beth Hale, and it's called Why Some Recruiters Think Social Media Sucks. And I liked it so much, I decided to rewrite it in my own words with some of hers and present it here to you today and then maybe add a few comments of my own at the end. So here is what Amy Beth Hale says. She says, here's why so many recruiters think social media recruiting sucks. It's because so many people believe that networking is something extroverts do best. So you got a lot of extroverts going into recruiting. But I've got news for you. When it comes to networking, extroverts suck. Yes, they do. I mean, they're so juvenile, they think success means having the most connections. But you know what? Relationships are like sex. Quality beats quantity. We're not interested in orgies in social networking. We don't want wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. That's why introverts rock. While the extroverts are out counting their conquests, introverts are figuring out how to add value to their relationships. And it's not by hogging the spotlight. That's what the extroverts do. Introverts like to share. We look for relationships that are mutually beneficial, and we're very sincere. We don't like to pull anything over on you. So a relationship with an introvert is much more likely to lead to something worthwhile. So if you hear a recruiter complaining that there's no value in social recruiting, you know that guy's an extrovert. And you know why he's striking out. He's out there playing his usual games, jumping up and down and screaming, hey, look at me, I'm awesome. And so are my jobs. But remember this, the internet was created by nerds for nerds. So these days, if you want to be cool, you have to be introverted, like me. So now I'm back in my own voice. I'm the recruiting animal again. I'm just going to recap what Amy Beth is saying. She said extroverts are okay at face-to-face or telephone networking because they're so insensitive that they have the guts to go out and meet people face-to-face. They don't care what anyone thinks to them. Same with talking on the phone. They don't care. But the more sensitive souls now have a path to the masses as well. You don't have to leave your home and you don't have to use the phone. All you need is a screen and a keyboard. And once the people out there find that they have access to recruiters who are not used car salesmen, They're going to prefer to work with them. And you're going to find out more about that when we talk to the new First Lady of Social Recruiting, Jennifer McClure, on Jerry Jerry. What show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show.
Fantastic
intro there, too, Animal.
Thank you very much.
I like it that you're giving us tips on relationships and orgies and sex.
Well, everybody should know.
I'm sorry, just say something. I was here with my latest conquest.
Everybody should know that I got RT'd by Morgan Fairchild.
Porn doesn't count, Mike.
Okay. Anyway, look, now to our guest. So I'm sorry to everybody about that mishap at the beginning of the show. I mean, I called in first, and they wouldn't let me on. Then I had to call in again, and they let me on. As soon as I started talking, they cut me off. But
wow.
Here's our guest. So first of all, Jennifer McClure, are you there?
I am.
Oh, you did you get cut off as well? Or
no, just okay? No. Okay. I called in, but you never talked to me.
Oh, I'm talking now. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, you know, I can't believe it's been a long time.
Great to be back. That's what
Hi,
you
Jennifer.
Want to say.
Well, I did not choose those words.
But before we get going, we want to talk to another old friend. David Lefko, are you here? Are you here? Is that you? I guess he's not here. I don't know. But anyway, I'll have to talk for him then, okay? Well, hold on. There's two more people just signed in, and he might be
hey,
one of them.
Are you guys there? Can you hear me?
Are you Dave Lefko?
It is.
What kind of phone are you calling on? What kind of phone are you calling on?
An AT&T iPhone, man.
Oh,
not
man.
Good reception. Sorry.
I said landline. Anyway, I'll see what we can do. We're
Probably has
a
bunch
so
of
many...
bacon lube on it and slipped out of his hands.
That's exactly what
don't
happened.
Don't jump the gun here, Jerry. Let me talk. Just let me introduce the guy. Dave Lefko used to be the VP of sales at the most innovative social recruiting company, Jobster. And he moved from there in an entirely different direction. He founded a company with another ex-Jobsterite called Bacon Salt. They make salt that tastes like bacon, and it's vegetarian, and it's kosher, and blah, blah, blah. But now he's got a new product. It's called Bacon Lube. I think it's so innovative, I want him to talk to us about it for a minute. Go ahead, Dave.
It's something that I was embarrassed to tell my mom about. I'll say that. It was an April Fool's joke about 3 years ago, and we just said...
What is it? What is it? What is Bacon Lube?
Bacon-flavored personal lubricant and massage oil. hoping we're coming out with something that was a joke. And,
yeah, hold on. Just so people understand, it's more like KY jelly or Astroglide than massage oil. Is that right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Basically it was an April Fool's joke, and 3,000 people got on our waiting list, and we said, geez, we probably have to make this for the holidays this year, and we did, and it's been on the Tonight Show twice, and it's been selling like crazy, so it's actually pretty good for us.
Well, good for you. Good for you, Dave. Now, we have a issue here about cupcake marketing. Trini Vitello gives out fancy cupcakes to her clients, and they really like them. I think this would be a much better gift. Man, what's going to get talked about in the office? Bacon Lube? Or cupcakes? You tell me.
Bacon Lube, without question.
Bacon Lube.
Bacon Lube, yeah.
Yeah.
Now we've got a former VP of HR here, our main guest, Jennifer McClure. Jennifer, you're also a high-class executive recruiter, and now you're a social media consultant. What about Bacon Lube as a gift for clients? Endorse it or thumbs down?
I'd have to give a thumbs down to the bacon.
Why? Why? Would you rather get a cupcake?
I would, yes, absolutely.
Oy vey.
Animal, this is the second week we're talking about this. Are you trying to tell us something about your personal life?
Come on. Have you never had an experience with Astroglide? Don't tell me that.
I tried to get my wife to use the Bacon Lube, actually, and she said no.
Okay. You know what? The last thing I'll say, Dave.
I thought men didn't like Astroglide.
I don't know if I ever said anything like that. Okay, but listen, we got to wrap this up. We've got everyone's waiting for Jennifer, but I have a fellow feeling for my old pal Dave Lefko, and he did something so innovative. This is innovative, okay? He's the one recruiter who's done something that I would say is innovative. Dave, congratulations. I think it's a great gift. Anything else you want to say about it before we go? How can people order it? How what's the price? Stuff like that.
Baconlube.com. It's all on the website.
Okay, what's it cost? What's it cost? Come on, tell us.
A low price of $11.99 and endless happiness.
Now, how long would that last?
Have you found
Boxworth?
It depends on how heavy of a user you are.
Okay.
What's the sodium content?
None. Zero.
What if you're Jewish?
It's kosher.
That's okay, too.
What?
Yeah, this one's actually not kosher, but it is vegetarian.
Okay.
I wasn't going to call a rabbi and ask him to bless a personal lubricant. That's just, you know. That's
why not? They endorse sexual relations, but we got to go. Got to move on to Jennifer. Dave, you're welcome to stay if you want. Otherwise, thank you!
Thank you!
Okay. Jennifer McClure, still here?
Yeah, clearly this is a highlight of my year to be on a show where we're
talking
about
bacon. You know
what?
It is the highlight of your year. You don't realize it yet.
Does the guest get a free batch of it at least?
No, we don't get. Nobody gives me free.
Jennifer,
okay?
I took the liberty of asking for you, so you didn't have to.
Thanks, Jerry. Thank
you. No problem.
Okay. Now, Jennifer McClure used to be an executive recruiter, but now on her site, she calls herself a social media anthropologist, and I assume that means she studies the behavior of people online and advises companies how to exploit it for recruiting purposes. Is that right, Jennifer?
That's the thought behind it, yeah.
I feel so strange calling you Jennifer instead of Cincy Recruiter, so forgive me if I slip back into the old form. It's a little too personal, okay?
It's personal branding.
Oh,
now you're worried about being a little too personal.
Yeah, I am.
After the Bacon Lube ad.
Well, I'm not using it with her, okay? Don't bother me. Now, before we get into your advice about social media recruiting, there's one thing that stuck in my mind from your previous fantastic appearances on this show. You told us that your practice was what I call referral recruiting. You never made a cold call. You always called people, whether they might be potential clients or candidates, with a referral. You came with a referral. And I want to know how you did that. I mean, I just can't imagine finding somebody who can connect me to whoever I want to call before I call them. Can you tell us a little about that before we talk about your current activities?
Well, I imagine that you do that as, you know, any good recruiter does that. It's just it's how I preferred to go about.
Did I just tell you that I don't do it? Okay? And then nobody else on this show does it?
They do too. It's how I prefer to do business. I would much rather build relationships and then work with people who either have worked with me and want to refer me to others, or when I need a referral to others, to reach out to my network to see if someone can help me with the introduction.
Okay. Give us an example of how that's done. Don't make me beg. Don't make me pull it out of you. I want to know, if you're recruiting, tell us a story, if you can maybe remember something. I know it wasn't that long ago when you were filling a specific position, you saw somebody on LinkedIn or in a directory, or somehow you came up with a name through telephone sourcing or something, and you wanted to call that person, and you had never spoken to her before. What was your practice? What was your first step?
The first step is maybe I would hear about an opportunity that someone needed to fill or was recruiting for, and I would sit down and think about, you know, who, maybe use LinkedIn to look at who the HR person was or the CEO or some executive there or maybe the hiring manager, and then I would either try to think about who in my network might have a connection there, or maybe even use LinkedIn to see who might have a connection, and I would contact that person and ask them how well they, you know, knew that individual, and if they knew them well and would be willing to refer me, then either, you know, I might ask them to make a call on my behalf, or if it was more comfortable for them, for me to call and use their name.
And when you called and used their name, what did you say?
I would say, you know, hi, so-and-so, you know, Jerry Albright is a friend of mine, and I saw that you had this opening. I contacted Jerry to see if he thought it might be worthwhile for us to have a conversation about it. He suggested that I give you a call, so that's how I got your number.
That's kind of lame. You don't know yourself.
Anything
she doesn't do this anymore, man. Let's talk about what she's doing now.
I want to know for what she. I assume that even though she decided to move away from executive recruiting, I believe that Jennifer is good at whatever she lends her hand to. So I believe she was very successful as a recruiter, but I can't imagine trying to call somebody before you make every call, trying to make a contact.
You're also imagining, though, that that was the bulk of how I spent my time. 80% of my business the last year I was in executive recruiting was referrals from people I had done business with. So I would get a call from a business owner or executive who said, you know, my friend so-and-so referred me to you and I'm looking for. So it wasn't how I spent the majority of my time, but that's just how if I heard of an opening.
Hey, you know, you can't, what do they call it in hockey when you deke somebody out? You can't send me after that red herring. So Joe Blow calls you up and say, I want you to find someone for my company. You still have to go out on a search and go through lots of people, I assume, before you come to a suitable candidate, okay? And if you're calling, if you're looking for referrals for every call, every recruiting call.
No. I talk more from the business development perspective in terms of referrals. I mean, sure, as a recruiter, you have to make a cold call to
potential candidates.
All right,
there it is,
candidates.
The trip. Thank goodness. Okay.
You don't have to make that many of them, though, Animal.
Okay, before I get going, and I have a lot to say today, does anybody have a question for Jennifer? There's a lot of people here.
I'd like to know why she moved away from recruiting and into social media evangelism.
Well, I didn't move away from recruiting into social media evangelism. To me, social media is one tool that can potentially be used in the recruiting process. When I started my business, my goal was to work with clients on recruiting strategy. So if you're not having success with attracting, recruiting, and developing the right talent in your business, I can help you with that. What happened when I started my business, though, was that the majority of people who contacted me wanted to talk about social recruiting. So I'm happy to go with that. To me, social recruiting is one avenue that's possible in doing that, but I certainly am much more interested in the broader issue of what's the strategy for our company to attract and recruit the right talent. And some of that involves old school stuff. Some of it involves process reengineering. Some of it involves training. But most people are interested in social recruiting.
We got the point. Now, listen, what is social recruiting? Just for the real, you know, novices, people who've, you know, got their head in the sand, who don't know anything, let's just define it briefly. And I'll give you my brief definition, and you can add to that or dispute it, okay? So when we talk about social recruiting, we're talking about using a blog, Facebook, Twitter, or any other social networking platforms. Now, it can also mean, I understand, your corporate career site because you're communicating with candidates there. Is that right? Is there anything you'd like to add to that?
That's basically using social media tools in your recruiting process, yes.
Okay. Now, I read an article on recruitingblogs.com, which is a social network for recruiters, and it was by Bill Boorman. And I want to read just a bit of it to you, again, in my own words, which are usually better than the words I find on somebody else's page, okay? Now, here's what Bill says very briefly. He says, social recruiting is great, but it shouldn't be done by recruiters. A recruiter has a lot of jobs to fill, and he has to fill them now. So he doesn't want to date you. He wants to find the best-looking girl in the room and say, hey, honey, do you want to sleep with me tonight? The people who should do social recruiting, says Bill, are the employees. They become the procurers for the Don Juans. They're like the dance hall girls in the saloon. They talk the professional talk that lets them build relationships with the other people in their profession, and people trust them because they're not salesmen. And when they get a lot of people commenting on their blog or in their forum, then they bring in the salesmen, the recruiters, to have their pick of the chicks. What do you think of Bill's idea?
Well, I'm not sure how much of that was Bill's words versus yours.
You get the drift.
If I get the drift, I'm not one. I don't like absolutes. I don't like to say that recruiters should just do one thing. I don't like to say that employees should just do one thing. I think if you have people, employees, that are active on social media and they are fans of your company, then they are going to do a great job of helping you in your recruiting process and attracting talent to your organization. But not every employee has that skill, nor are they interested. The same with recruiters. Some recruiters are great on the phone. Some recruiters are great interviewers. Some are better business developers. I think you need to maximize the talents of your people, and they're all individuals.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about the idea? I'm not a corporate recruiter, but we hear again and again and again from guys like Kirby Cole. We have friends of the show now who are corporate recruiters, and they say these guys have a lot of orders to fill at one time. If you're working on 20 or 30 or 40 recs,
or 50.
Where do you get time to do social media recruiting, Jennifer?
I think it's much more about looking at social media as a recruiting tool that may replace some of your current activities. So as a recruiter, a corporate recruiter, I know I've spent hours on the phone returning voicemails or returning emails, answering questions for candidates. Social media could be a way that you can put out messages that then multiple people can access that, and you only have to do it once.
Those pesky questions.
It's not an additive activity necessarily. It can be something that can replace other activities. It certainly takes time, but it may reduce your time spent elsewhere.
Okay. Well, you know, I found another article about, it's called Why? Five Reasons Why Social Recruiting Sucks. And it's by not by some dummy, it's by my sensei. He's a pretty smart guy. Wouldn't you say so, Jennifer? Putting
yes,
you on the spot here.
He's great.
You met him. What's his real name? Omawali?
Omawali Kasali.
Is that how you say it?
That's how I say it, yeah.
Omawali Kasali.
That's pretty good. Omawali. No wonder why he calls himself my sensei. Now, here, he says this is why social recruiting sucks. Number one, it's too much work. We just handled that, right? So if a recruiter is going to do social recruiting, they have to figure out that they're not going to do other kind of recruiting to a certain extent. Is that true? Yes or no?
To a certain extent, yes.
Okay. Number one. Number two. So if you're like a guy like Jerry, you don't really have time to do social recruiting. Am I right?
From what I understand of Jerry, it's not how he is at his best. No.
Just for the record, I've got lots of time, obviously.
Jennifer.
I mean, I'm no Bill Borman. I mean, I don't set my alarm for every 45 minutes to make sure I'm tweeting or jumping on Facebook, but I've got plenty of time.
Jennifer, is it true or not that Jerry was the star of the recent recruiting conference in Chicago?
No.
Jerry was on the panel with you. And Jennifer, what I heard is that he barely got to talk 5 minutes and that people were coming up to him for the next 2 days asking for his advice.
He was very shy. I was surprised. Very shy.
See, if I would have talked longer, people would have realized that I really have no basis for most of what I'm saying.
You know what? I took a glance at Twitter just a minute ago, and all they're talking about there is bacon lube. I was just looking to see if somebody had a question for you, and that's what interests people, bacon lube. Don't you dare tell me that's not a fantastic gift. It's going to attract everybody's attention. Now, here's what Omawali Kasali, alias my sensei, says for his number two reason about why social recruiting sucks. He says you get pathetic results. He said, I've seen the yada yada numbers of the evangelists who make a living promoting this stuff. You know, there's 227 million users of the internet in the United States. There's 400 million Americans on Facebook. There's 100 million on Twitter. He says, but the funny thing is when I tweet a job opening, I get no response. What do you say to that, Jennifer?
To me, again, it's no different than the methods that we've used in the past. When we used to advertise jobs in the newspaper, there were so many millions of eyes that were available in a newspaper. But you still have to write a great ad. You still have to have a great job. You still have to be able to get people interested in your opportunity. And then once they are, you have to be able to bring them in the process. Social media is a communications tool. It does not make people who are poor communicators good communicators, and it does not make poor recruiters great recruiters.
Hey, I don't think you're answering the question. Don't pull that on me two times in a row, okay?
I answered you.
No, you did not. He said he didn't get any results. You're talking about, you know, some other topic entirely.
He didn't get any results because it's the same as Jerry Albright. He's tweeting to the wrong people. Omawali wrote a lot, you know, he's in a different field now, but at the time he wrote a great blog for recruiters to learn how to use social tools. He's not necessarily building candidate pools or relationships with the people that he was actually recruiting.
Hey,
so
Jennifer.
Yeah.
Jennifer.
Yeah.
What do you lump LinkedIn in with Twitter when you say social media, social recruiting? Are you thinking one and the same, or are you specifically thinking about Facebook fan pages? Some of these are clearly bringing no results to the table, where others are highly effective.
All of them are social networks, but they all have different components to them. LinkedIn is also a database. LinkedIn is also an opportunity to post jobs. LinkedIn is also a place to build communities. So it's not just, you know, a social network is not just one thing. Twitter is a place to have conversations, to do branding, to share content. Facebook is a place to build personal relationships as well as to create, you know, a company page where you can have a community of people who are opting in to get messages. So they're multifaceted.
Okay, you know, let's just come back to my question before we go. So Omowale, smart guy that he is, now you're saying that he didn't know what he was doing really, and he was.
No, I did not say that.
Oh, you did? Yes, indeed.
No.
You said he was just
yes,
like,
you did.
No,
he was just like Jerry Albright hollering into the vacant.
If you go back and look at Omowale's site, his site was targeting recruiters and community or college organizations. He was not targeting candidates.
Okay, so he didn't know what he was doing. He says when he posted a job opening, he got no response, and you said he should have. Because there are people out there listening if you know how to address them properly. Is that what you're saying?
That is what I said in your words. I said that there are different – they are communication tools and how you use them. Some people are –
Yeah, okay, forget that because I'll go on to his number three. He says there's no case studies. I want to see which kind of companies get good results before I waste my time at trial and error. Want to give us some examples?
Mm.
Yeah, there are plenty of companies out
there. Give us some examples, please, dear.
PepsiCo, AT&T, General Mills, Deluxe Corporation. You know, there's a number of good examples out there, big and small.
Do you have any numbers for us? Any numbers?
I don't work at the companies. I do not have the exact numbers.
You're the expert. You're teaching people about this. If you don't have any numbers, how do you know that they're getting good results?
I can tell you that Deluxe Corporation built their talent community, which is more like a talent pool, but they built that from 3,500 people to 134,000 people in a year. They filled They filled 50% of their jobs in the first quarter of this year from people who had opted into that talent community through their social media.
What is a talent community? A blog? A forum online? What kind of web page?
Resume database.
A true talent community. Maren Hogan has the best definition of that.
Hey, you know, don't pass the buck to her.
No, wait a minute. We're quoting Maren Hogan. I like it.
It's interactive where the individuals within the community also create and share content and communicate with amongst each other. So a lot of companies and organizations today that are talking about talent communities really have talent pools or talent networks or talent puddles. I don't like to get hung up in the definition. I really just think that you need to be able to bring people in, to be able to opt in to hear the messaging that is related to your company and your opportunity.
Come on, what kind of page is it? Is it a Twitter following? Is it some kind of forum page? Is it a networking thing on Ning? I want to know what concrete form that deluxe talent community takes. How does it manifest itself that one of my readers could go there, listeners, could go there and see it right now.
I picture it as one of those places like at McDonald's with all the balls that you jump in, but it's filled with talent and a bunch of people just splashing around in content.
You're helping or not answer,
you need
Jerry.
To do an infographic.
You're helping or not answer the question, okay? Just answer this question.
I don't have a chance to answer the question.
Now you do. Go ahead.
In Deluxe's example, you can opt into their talent community on their website. However, their talent community is not interactive on that particular website. Their Facebook page is certainly interactive. They have an active LinkedIn group, and they have a Twitter account that is very active.
Who is Deluxe?
By definition, they have more of a talent pool on their website. But it works for them, and that's what really matters to me, is are you capturing people who are interested in your company and interested in your jobs in some way? And there are multiple ways that you can capture them.
You know, hold on. We don't need to blather, okay? I got to just answer this question. So you said they've got a Facebook page, they've got a LinkedIn group, and then they've what? Got a newsletter that you opt into on their site? What are you talking about concretely? We don't want abstractions here, dear. You've been a good guest in the past. Do not evade me. Answer
not
my
evading.
Question.
You're not listening.
I am.
They have a community that you can opt into. They use jobs to web, so they capture people in multiple ways. And then they take the information related to the people in their communities and they segment and target. So if they have marketing jobs, they send those jobs and the information about those jobs to the marketing people in that community. So it's a database of people who have opted in to receive information, and then they segment that and target those people. So that's one-way communication once the people have opted in.
That's like a contact management, a CRM. Is that what you're talking
about here?
There's
a lot of debate out there now about what a true community is, and that's why I said Maren Hogan has the best definition. A true community is interactive, where people, the participants within the community, both create and share content as well as communicate with each other. You can do that and do that within a LinkedIn group. Your Facebook page can also be a community.
What do they discuss in their LinkedIn group for Deluxe?
Careers-related information. They have a content calendar for all of their sites, so they have a focus for each month. So, like this month, it looks like their focus is wellness. So, in addition to career-related information, they're also posting information about wellness. So, it's just information to give people a feel for the culture and what it's like to work there, as well as to provide a forum for them to ask questions and get answers.
I'm joining their talent community right now at Deluxe Corporation.
And who answers their questions? The recruiters or those marketing people that you mentioned a minute ago?
I don't know exactly.
You don't know.
You have a talent community manager, and she has a person that works with her.
I watched a video where your dear friend, I'm So Sarah, was asking you questions, and she asked a good question. When you were going on like this, I didn't want to say blabbing. When you were going on in this manner,
sharing content.
She said, Jennifer, what size of company is this good for? Is it only for these giant companies?
Yep.
And my answer was no, right?
Well, no, you tell us. I'm inviting you to share that with my listeners as well, please.
A talent community certainly can be very helpful and engaging for a larger company that has more information, more jobs, more opportunities, more stuff going on. But it doesn't mean that a smaller company can't do it. It's just going to probably be much, much less people involved in the community. However, you can work at the recruiting firm that I worked for in the past. They have a LinkedIn group that I would say is a community. It's small, but they share content related to their company, to their thoughts about the employment process, as well as their jobs, and then the people within the group also ask questions and answer each other. So to me, that's community.
I think this is a good moment for a song, okay? We're going to sing.
Great.
We're going to sing. We're not going to sing. She was bragging yesterday. Jennifer was bragging that she's got the moves like Mick Jagger, but I didn't have time to prepare that song. I wasn't ready, okay? I know you got the moves like Mick Jagger because you're moving away from me every time I ask you a question. I got to chase you all around the stage, right? But here we're going to sing something a little more low-key. It's called I Want to Be Sedated by the Ramones. You know that song?
Never heard of it.
You just go ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. I want to be sedated. Turn off your phone, whoever you are. Okay.
Welcome to Verizon Wireless. The wireless customer
card
is not available at this time. Please try to call again
what
later.
Idiot that is. Can you hold on a sec?
Switch 179-1.
Oh, it's not that person.
Welcome to Verizon Wireless. The wireless customer
card
is not available at this time. Please try your call again later.
Idiots wreck my show all the time. There it is. You know who that was? I'm ashamed to say it. I won't call her out, but it's her. Okay.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
Area code.
It's her. Okay. Now,
Kathy.
Kathy Manis. Can you handle that one? Jennifer?
I will not be singing. No, that is not one of my
songs. You cannot be singing? I want everyone to hear this. You cannot be singing? Is that what you said?
I said I will not be singing.
Why not?
Because that is not one of my talents.
That's not one of my talents either. And I have to tell you, I'm kind of worried. My voice is getting worse lately. I worry if I have cancer or something, right? Undetected. But if I can do it, if I can do it, you can do it. Who's going to sing? Janice, are you going to sing?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, I got a website for Janice. This is Janice Worthington. She, she's a very smart woman. She's a very good speaker. But I begged her to give me a website for her podcast. She refused. So I went and got one myself. JaniceSpeaks.com. I picked it. I pointed it there because I've got a brain in my head. That's social media. JaniceSpeaks.com. You want a lot of good free podcasts for job hunters, you'll find them there. But I cannot convince people to market themselves in an intelligent manner. So JaniceSpeaks.com, you'll find Janice there. Anybody
I've
else
posted
singing?
The lyrics. with the hashtag
matter.
There.
They won't sing. Janice, it might just be you and me. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Nobody's singing.
Jennifer was singing.
Sounded like they were. Okay. Thank you, Jennifer, for helping out with that.
You have the music too loud.
Hey, is Andy Gregory here?
What?
Is Andy Gregory on the show for his halftime show?
Andy, are you here?
No, he's busy.
Oh,
you know, there's
busy.
A bunch
he
of people. Hold on.
Working.
There's a bunch of people I didn't turn. Andy, are you here?
Oh, you're just
Andy?
Not turning everybody on, huh?
Oh, yeah. Hold on. That's Kirstie McCall.
Oh, my God. Who's singing?
That's Kirstie. Now dead. She's dead. Okay. Does anybody have a question for Janice before? Our recruiter says, Animal has a new and very appropriate theme song. Thank you very much. Okay.
I have a question.
Who was that star that came up with that one? Oh,
Alla
Amy Alla. Yeah.
Alla. Okay. Who's got a question there?
I do.
Janice Worthington.
Yeah.
JaniceSpeaks.com.
Thank you. Jennifer, LinkedIn, around here, we've been working with a lot of recruiters. We're in the Midwest, and they swear by LinkedIn. They have it on one of their screens all day. How do you feel about that?
Absolutely. I think LinkedIn it's leveled the playing field now for recruiters in general, corporate or third party. People can be found, whether it's via LinkedIn or via the Internet. So it's no longer that you necessarily have to call a third-party recruiting firm to find talent. For the most part, you can find talent online. The good recruiters, though, then can actually recruit the talent. So LinkedIn is definitely a tool that every recruiter should have in their toolkit.
Were you just suggesting
that's a revelation. Thanks.
That corporate recruiters don't need agency recruiters anymore? Did you
absolutely
slip that in
not.
On us?
No, I did not.
I believe that's
there
what you
will
said.
Always be a need for agency recruiters for corporate recruiters that either don't have the time or the expertise to recruit a particular kind of talent or for very niche searches. Or for high volume searches.
Okay.
Jerry, I hear the Wawa's hiring.
What?
Jennifer, what do you think about the paid LinkedIn recruiter seat? Is that worth the money?
It depends. I mean, it is pricey, but if you are doing a lot of recruiting and have a lot of positions to fill, absolutely, because you get access to the whole LinkedIn network without having to learn how to do complex searches. You get the ability to communicate with people without having to pay, you know, $5 for an email. And you get some really cool tools. The talent pipeline and some things that they're releasing in the near future is pretty amazing stuff.
Now, I have a question for you, unrelated to what we're going to get back to, social media, if we have any time. If I know somebody who's a very good corporate recruiter and has also recently worked as a sourcer doing a wide range of different searches, she has recently become unemployed. I'm wondering how she might best go about getting a corporate recruiting position worthy of her talent.
We know someone who's looking for someone like that, by the way, Janice, if that's for real.
Okay.
Do they have to relocate?
Not necessarily. No. Just get a hold of me.
Okay. That's exec job coach, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
On Twitter. Or Janice Speaks, you have your contact information there. You don't, unfortunately. Do you? Would it say worthingtoncareers.com? Okay. Anyway, that's Janice Worthington. Jennifer, do you have advice for our dear friend who is in need of a job?
Absolutely. There are recruiting jobs out there to be had. So whether it's corporate recruiting or contract recruiting, there are plenty of people looking for recruiters. She has to determine what level of position, obviously, that she's looking for. Certainly, I would hope that she has a network of people just like this. She told you. You told your network, and right away you got a lead. So
where
you know,
can she find those jobs? Is there a talent community that she should join? How
recruiting
can she
blogs?
Use
You know, join recruiting blogs, join some recruiting groups on LinkedIn, certainly get involved in your community. It's no different than any other job seeker. Find where people are like you.
What LinkedIn group would you recommend if you were looking for a corporate recruiting job?
I'd have to do some searches on LinkedIn to actually find a group that was a good fit. Since I'm not looking for a corporate recruiting job, I don't have
a
recommendation.
There's a search button on there, Animal. Find one.
How would you contact somebody?
I'm sure.
What would you
I'm
ERE group.
Okay.
Oh, there
that's
you go.
A good one.
That is a good one.
Quick clap.
Okay, somebody got a question there?
No.
No? Okay, I'm ready to go back to Amawali. Is it okay if we continue with him a bit?
Sure.
Jennifer,
yeah,
do
Jennifer doesn't like a thing he does. Let's shred this
guy. I believe I am on record as saying he's a smart guy and he knows his stuff. I said that at the very beginning.
Jennifer, though, do you have any revelations that, you know, maybe I'm not asking the right questions. Is there something, you know, you burning that you think my listeners should know?
No. I mean,
no.
That's kind of like a wide open question there.
You know, pep it up. I'm ashamed that I have to. I know that we have to put a little zip in you. You are famous for having long, articulated statements, right? Okay? But we always have to give you a little zip, but I'm asking you to. Don't just seem like you're doing me a favor by coming here. I want to hear that you're passionate about sharing this information with recruiters for hungry for what you have to give them, okay?
I am, but I'm also not used to being interrupted and talked over and having my words reinterpreted, so, you know.
You're not used to being hunted down for the truth. Come on. Okay.
Then you don't do the unconference tour, then. You do strictly the regular old-school conference.
Okay, hold on. There's people listening who want me to move ahead. Now, he says social media recruiting is too airy-fairy. How do I build relationships that are going to get me results? Okay, that's number one. And here's another one I'll throw in at the same time. He says the ROI, the return on investment, takes too long. Fast results are a superior investment strategy.
I disagree with both of those statements.
Well, go
I have built some great relationships via social media, people that I have now met in person, such as Omawala, as well as people that I've never met that I would refer in a heartbeat or that I would recruit in a heartbeat. So,
did you make any money off of Omawali? No. We're talking about people you can make money off of when you fill a job.
People that are looking for a job still contact me, and I no longer do direct recruiting. I get several contacts a day from people who are looking for jobs or who follow me on Twitter or read my blog, and they're looking for their next
great
career.
Great candidates, Jennifer?
Yeah, some of them are executive-level candidates, and I refer those to my recruiting friends who are then very happy. But, you know, they could do that as well, build that network of people who are interested in receiving information, and then when they have a need, will look out for you to help them.
Don't you think your friend Amy
Van
Pelt is a little...
Any nonprofit CFOs calling you?
Didn't hear that, sorry.
What?
Any nonprofit CFOs calling you?
CFOs?
Nonprofit.
Yeah, nonprofit.
I don't know what kind of phone that guy's on. Go ahead, Mike.
Cheap.
That guy? What do you mean that guy?
A guy who can't pick up the phone and has to talk through a tin can? Don't do it to me. Go ahead.
I said, are any of your, are any nonprofit CFOs calling you looking for work?
Not recently, but I have had one in the past, yes.
If so, I'd like to be your friend.
Okay. I think being a friend is more than just when you have a need, right? Helping you another when you're not in need.
Yep, there you go.
First.
Excellent.
That's
why
Emma
was
talking about
me
at the beginning
of the
show.
I'd say she just confirmed Omawali's statement here that the ROI takes too long. Building a friendship takes a long time, right?
Mm-hmm. Building a relationship of any kind takes time.
Okay. Yeah, well,
that's
why.
Which is more affordable for corporate recruiting departments, don't you think, Jennifer, rather than agency recruiters who might shift from one discipline or even specifics within that field to the next a month or two later? It's almost like trying to turn the Titanic fast enough to react to a client with your talent community that's built for your last several positions that you filled, right?
It is. I think
but didn't
for
she already
a recruiter
answer that
like
say
yourself,
that you were
even when I was
did
in executive recruiting, I didn't specialize in, and it's you know, it's, you can't really go out and invest the time to build a bunch of different communities, but what you can do is build the brand of your firm and talk about the people that work there and your process and your success in working with clients. So you build equity in the organization.
Who's
going to
follow
well
you to find out?
Yeah, nobody cares about that.
But
yeah,
an individual recruiter, you share helpful information related to careers.
Job
or
tips.
Stuff you're interested
job hunt
in.
Tips. Top 10 interview questions.
Very
stuff cool. Not to wear. I get sick of the content, don't you? Come on, I mean, it's the same content over and over, isn't it? Resume tips, stuff not to say on your resume, common mistakes of the interview.
But clearly people aren't getting that. You're a recruiter. You
have
resumes. You know that, right?
Okay, let me move ahead, please. The show is floundering. I have a question, though, that is an aside. As I said before, wouldn't your friend Amy Beth Hale be better qualified or described as being pugnacious instead of introverted. I think people were shocked to see that that's the way she describes herself. Comment?
I think that people are vastly confused about what an introvert means. Introvert does not mean that you can't be social or that you aren't talkative or that you can't, you know, have multiple relationships. Introverted is about how you recharge. So I go out, I speak to groups of people, I talk to people on the phone all day long, I'm involved in social media, but I have to shut it down and shut it off in order to recharge. Whereas an extrovert, to recharge, they recharge by being around and involved with people. That is
an example of an extrovert.
I've never heard that definition ever.
Well, that
I've heard it a million times, and I want an example.
That is the true definition. That's
so.
But right
that, what she just said is true.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's,
exactly.
Read The Delicate Art of Dancing with Porcupines. It's all about that. It's how it's introvert or extrovert. Different people take different things. It makes sense.
So Amy
okay.
Beth is a good communicator.
Where does whiskey
does
fit in with recharging?
What she does
being that make
a
me an introvert?
Manager. That doesn't make her an extrovert.
Yes, Jerry.
She recharges by
Jerry, if you drink alone, then you're an introvert.
What if I drink alone, but I call a lot of people all night long because I want to talk to somebody?
Then you're an extrovert.
You're an extrovert.
While you're drinking,
okay.
Then you're an alcoholic, but that's okay.
Okay, can I take control again, please, and ask her a question?
You got to do something with this thing,
well,
man.
Do
it's
it.
Dying here,
do
animal.
It. Come on.
Please, please. Okay.
Has everybody heard about the virtual Christmas
Shut
party?
Up!
January 21st.
Shut
if not,
up!
Go to
jerrytherecruiter.com. I will give you a chance if you ask me. Just don't butt in. I have not been able to talk for 5 minutes. Okay?
Forgive me.
Yeah, you got your whole show to blab for a half an hour. Give me a chance, will you? When I ask for it, at least. Okay. Now, there's a long article by Dr. John Sullivan on ERE. It's a great article. My title for it is Dopey Social Recruiting Blunders. I don't think that's what he calls it. He's got 30 things that you can do wrong in social recruiting. And I've got a few of them listed here. We've only got like 10 minutes left, but I'll ask a few of them. He says that targeting active candidates is the number one mistake. He said, you go in a social community to find people who are not looking for jobs. If you want to reach job hunters, go to a job board or someplace like that or your career site. Don't go someplace where the people aren't actively looking and then just bug them by trying to recruit them. What do you say to that, Jennifer?
I am not a big fan of the distinction between active and passive candidates. I am much more interested in finding the right candidate. And sometimes the right candidate is very actively looking for a job, and sometimes the right candidate didn't even know they were interested in a job until I contacted them and made them aware of it. So it's really about having the right message and getting out there and communicating to both people who are actively looking as well as in channels where people, you know, may not be aware that they're looking until they hear of your opportunity.
Uh-huh. Okay, and he's also another guy. He says don't rely on recruiters to be good at social recruiting. The employees, again, he said, rely on them to identify the right people, to build relationships, to make referrals, okay? He says that. He says don't expect speed. Don't expect low cost and high volume. He said if you want high volume, low cost recruiting to fill immediate needs, you should rely on job boards and referrals. Social media recruiting is effective, but it takes time, resources, and listen to this, it will never produce high volumes of hires. What do you say about that?
I would 90% agree with that statement. I think over time it can produce high volumes of hire, but it is a time investment. If you need to recruit 30 job of developers today, you better get on the phone and contact a recruiter like Jerry. Or
don't call me. I can't find any. It's killing me.
But if over time you've built a really good community for Java developers and you have 30,000 of them in your community and you're sharing helpful information that they appreciate and associate with your company, when you have job openings, they will also be interested.
Okay. Now, he says another big mistake is being too direct. He says it takes 3 to 5 communications before you can start talking about a job, he said. And many people on social media, they rush through this important step and prematurely, we're not talking about bacon lube here either, they prematurely bring up jobs.
Ooh.
Directly posting job announcements is a no-no as well. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
I think, again, you know, they agree mostly with that statement. I just received a LinkedIn introduction request to forward today from somebody who's looking for a job, and they wanted me to forward it to an HR manager, and it just starts out with, I'm looking for a job, and I'd like to get 15 minutes of your time to talk about the opportunities at your company. That's not networking. That's not building relationships.
But that's what a career coach told that person to do.
Maybe not. No.
It is too, Janice.
It's also the same with recruiters. Recruiters do that as well. They reach out to candidates and say, you know, I found some keywords on your LinkedIn profile, and here's all the opportunities that we have. Candidates don't respond to that either.
All recruiters do that either.
And I didn't say.
But a candidate would respond if they're looking for work, right?
But
I mean,
again,
for us to pretend like these guys are so picky about what they respond to, come on, get over ourselves, people.
That's what poor recruiters do. That's what poor candidates do. That's what poor salespeople do. I mean, I got a sales call that was a cold call like that. He had no idea what my business was yesterday. I mean, it happens all the time. It's just what people who don't know what they're doing do.
Hey, Manister, I still don't know what your business is.
Happy birthday, Dave Manister.
Well, you come to one of the conferences, Jerry.
Happy birthday, Dave. I've got to move on. Okay?
Happy birthday, Dave.
Happy birthday.
I look like, you know, she comes here once a year. Let me ask her a few questions, will you? Okay. Now, Dr. John, the Night Tripper, says 95% of all social media recruiting occurs on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. He said that's a big mistake. Other channels should not be ignored. And he gives examples of location-specific communities, meetups, food, travel, and recreation channels, photo and video groups, etc. I have no idea what he's talking about, especially, you tell me. Go ahead.
Well, again, I don't like blanket statements, so to say, you know, that 95% occurs on these three networks, I don't know if that's an accurate statement. What is the biggest mistake with social recruiting is just going out and creating profiles on different networks. You need to understand where the type of talent that you're recruiting hangs out. So if you're recruiting photographers, absolutely, you should be looking at Flickr and other photo sharing sites to see if you can find talent. If you're recruiting IT people, you know, which social network do they use primarily? If you're recruiting hourly workers, they're not going to be on LinkedIn.
Question. So if you're looking for programmers, you shouldn't be looking for them on photo sites. Is that what you're saying?
That's wrong, Cheryl.
It depends. Again, you need to do the research. What I said was you need to do the research where the type of talent that you're recruiting hangs out.
I want Kathy Manis to disagree with you there. Go ahead, Kathy.
I do disagree with you. I mean, you can be searches for...
What kind of phone are you on? Are you on this planet? I can barely hear you.
I can hear her. It's not her phone.
Okay, you can do searches for photos of Java developers, let's say, are at a conference. And you know how they have a group picture, and then they'll label the rows, row one, row two, row three, and they'll have all the names of the people.
Right, but
and
that's sourcing versus building a presence on a social media site.
No, that is then you go to a social media site, you take that piece of information, find the person that you want to connect with or someone like them, and go to your social media site.
I'm with Kathy on that, because sourcing is an important part of recruiting.
Absolutely.
I'm with Kathy.
Some would say it's the most
important
part
of recruiting, but you asked me specifically about social recruiting.
But you said that you would only look for photographers in a photo.
No, I did not say that. I said if you were looking for photographers, you should certainly check out sites like Flickr and build a presence there. That's what I'm talking about.
Flickr
social recruiting is about building a presence and communicating your brand and your opportunities and what your company is about. Sourcing, absolutely. You can find candidates of all kinds and follow the trails, and that's why good sourcers are worth their weight in gold.
Now, I have to tell you something. Kathy, C-1, C-M-A-N-N-I-S-1, scolded me this morning for my fantastic portfolio of portraits of you. And she said, hey, she said, Jennifer McClure, I met her. She's very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you, I posted some fantastic pictures of you, and I looked at your slide decks. And, you know, they've got crappy pictures on them. They're not all yours. They're from Intuit and other companies. One of them, I think it's the one from Intuit, they got a picture of a guy with his head in the sand on the beach. I mean, it's so dull and uninspiring. I could barely look at it. Now, why don't people, you know, put a little more life in these things? Do you have any comment on that? I don't think you do because you didn't like my pictures of you. Go ahead.
Now, there's nothing like agreeing to come on your show and knowing that, that what comes with that is a series of unflattering comments.
Those were flattering pictures. They were fantastic. I stand behind them.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure do. And that's why when I saw them, I laughed out loud, and that's not usually the reaction that I want to photos associated with me and my business online.
What did you say?
I laughed. They were funny, but that's not what I know. I'm not going to be using
okay.
them.
Okay, one with like a record album with you singing. It's fantastic, okay? And the pictures that these corporations use, I'll just say something. I've sat in a doctor's office reading women's magazines, and there's a lot of naked women in those magazines, but they're just not sexy. They find some way to make them antiseptic. Like I don't really want
to
look at them. And that's what those corporate pictures are. They're like that. They got pictures of guys in a suit holding up a sign that says resume. What's the meaning there? That's a sign of a low level of culture. Really, it's degrading, it's enervating, and I wanted to say something about that, okay?
Yeah.
And if someone wants to check out my pictures of Jennifer, they are fantastic, and they're right at, on the site for this show. Anyway.
Yeah, you really know how to flatter women.
You do.
I mean, you're on the money with those pictures, dude.
Clout says that I'm her number one fan, okay?
Oh, yeah. Huh. That must be doing well if you're my number one fan.
Jennifer, how's clout doing? I mean, as an interesting topic at the places that you're working with, do people want to know about it, or do they all already realize how stupid it is?
Yeah, what is it?
I think again, there are the early adopters that are trying to figure out if clout is a reliable tool to be using in recruiting, and the early adopters are exploring that, and I think they absolutely should be. But your everyday average company is not looking at clout, no.
Okay, just wondering.
It shouldn't.
That's what Boy Wonder says.
But
any
it's
last
not going to last much
longer.
Any company, though, that is trying to be innovative to investigate new tools and to seek out, you know, what's going on there and whether or not it can be. I mean, most people would say that a location-based service can't be used for recruiting, but it can. It just is a matter of who has the time and the energy and the willingness to go out and investigate how to do that.
Which is more likely corporate recruiters, if
it's
any.
It's not just corporate versus third party. It's more about, again, how do you think? So if you're a third party recruiter that thinks innovatively and thinks about, well, I'm, you know, Michael Homula was given all kinds of praise when he was at Intuit for going to, you know, the bar across the street where the people he was trying to recruit hung out and then giving him his business cards. That's innovative recruiting. You could
going to a bar is innovative now.
You could use a location-based service to do something very similar, but not every recruiter is wired that way.
But Jared, we almost agree on that because. I mean, my thought through all this is, if you don't agree with a bad idea, you're considered not innovative.
Right.
And that's not what I said, no. They're not
you know,
bad
you've
ideas.
You've got a bad attitude today. Just let me close this off. First of all, I'm hurt that somebody I respect and I admire has no artistic sense like my own. First of all, that bugs me. But I've heard for the last 20 minutes kind of an irate, irked undercurrent to your voice, and that's fine on the Recruiting Animal Show, but I don't know what you're mad about. This has been a fantastic expose or exposure. There's still tons of things to cover, but we haven't, you know, we've only got an hour, and I appreciate, Jennifer, you're coming here again. You're welcome anytime. I don't have to chase you down to get you on the show. You can't go on the after show. That's reserved for the callers only.
The elite.
Thank you!
See ya.
Great
what, is,
show,
what did we learn from that show, people?
I did.
What did we learn?
The
no
absolute. From the most intelligent and even-minded people in our space.
That is a really crappy phone.
Who is that?
Margo from Nashville.
Margo, that sounds like shit.
You sound like you're sounds
I'm
like you're down in a
come
well.
On.
It sounds like you're down in a well, Margo.
Okay. Well, I'm on the road.
Okay, then stick with us then. Where are you going?
I'm meeting a really great contact down here, Lynn Hoyt, who you probably know from our circle.
Yep.
Don't know him.
She's cool.
My point about Jennifer is that she doesn't let animals fluster her, and she doesn't have black and white statements. She's able to look at all the information and say, it's just not black or white. And she looks at things from all angles. How many people do that? So many opinionated people in our world.
Well, she's not going to let him corner her. That's the, you know, or misquote her. That's what that was about.
I don't think that being able to look at something from all angles means that you need to then stay open to all perspectives on something. So some of these things just plain don't work. Like the thing about clout.
Yeah,
innovative people should check it out. I think people that are smart enough to realize how stupid that is and how irrelevant it really is, that's your forward-thinking person, not the sheep that they have to explore all this stuff. Empire Avenue, remember that big craze 4 or 5 months ago?
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
Shelley, Kathy Manis, you were all over.
I got off of it. I know.
Got on what?
Kathy? Kathy fessed up. She said right away, hey, you're right, Ryan, it's crap.
It is crap.
Yep.
It is.
Though I do wonder what my stock is up
to,
but I'd be pretty high coming up into the virtual Christmas party season. My Empire Avenue stock ought to be pretty high. Seriously, I mean, that's my one big bash a year.
There you go.
Awesome. Can I say one thing about the guests? I don't know.
Kathy, one thing.
Okay. It's got to be
not
more
two.
Than one because it's a compound.
Okay, go ahead.
Really respect her. I've met her in person, but I did not think she came across very knowledgeable today.
I didn't understand what she was telling us.
I didn't either. I mean, it was sort of, I just felt like it was a very generic type of information that she was sharing that was very basic.
I think she's
what her job is, though. She goes into companies and teaches them the basics.
That's true, but we're
I'm sorry,
that.
I don't know the basics, and I didn't learn anything.
Oh, good point. Cora May won.
Cora May wins.
I don't know anything about it, so I'm so looking
okay,
forward
well, you're
to
right. Okay.
Look, I like Jennifer. She's one of the first people I actually met on this whole social media thing, so I've you know, been paying attention to what she's been doing. It seems like many of these people who have now shifted into this traveling, going to various conferences and stuff, have this certain a laundry list of things that they now just say about stuff. I notice, you know, Bill Borman says the same different kind of things. A lot of these people, they have these certain tidbits that are just ingrained in them that, you know, maybe it's hard to get away from that after a while because that's just what people expect them to go around and say. You know, social media is just one tool. It's not all of it. You know what I mean? We're all saying the same stuff. Which is why none of it was new or, insightful.
You didn't think my picture, my photo information was new? Have you ever done a search on that like that?
No, and I probably never will.
I do image news and photo and video searches every day.
For what? For what reason?
To find people. To find people, to get to know people, so that when I make a call, it is not a cold call. Not on my end, anyway.
Really? So you'll spend five days trying to find a picture of somebody in
Well, 5 days? I think I'm
sporting event. So you can say, "Hey, you like that volleyball game? So do I. Yeah, that's really cool. We have a lot in common. Hey, can I tell you about my product?"
You know what I think? I think is worth knowing in all of that is if you have your privacy settings set a certain way on Facebook or any other social media network, and
Hey, Margo, would you mind putting your phone on mute until you're talking to us again, hon? Appreciate it. Margo?
Want me to cut her off?
Well, it just gets a bit dicey, you know what I mean? A little choppy.
Who's talking right now, though, the female? I
don't
know. Is it Ryan?
I was talking. Ryan was talking.
Yeah, okay.
And we'll cut her off.
What's the area code in Nashville?
She's ordering a sandwich in Tennessee.
What's the area code in Nashville? What's the area code? I don't know her phone number.
I think she still has a 513. No, she probably got a new phone down there, didn't she?
You know what? I want to say something. I have a beef with Jennifer. I looked at her channel on
cut that
on
person
YouTube.
Off, man. This is crazy.
Okay, I'll stop talking. I'll try to find out what you're
saying. No,
it's
we
not
can't.
267,
I want to hear what you have to say, but we can't hear you over.
Yeah, okay. You guys talk then while I work on this, okay?
Okay, well, let me finish my thought. Even if you shut down all of your social media so that it's private and only those you're connected with directly have access, if somebody in your network tags you in a photo, that photo is now public. And people can find
you. Shut off tagging.
So you have to shut off tagging, but a lot of people don't know that. So those are basic things about video and images and pictures that a lot of people don't know.
Somebody is ruining my after show here, and it's not
yeah.
me.
The animal
change.
Pay you back.
I'm going through everything.
You know, Jerry, I do photo and video searching, too, and I've been using it for my Christmas list to figure out who I want to send Bacon Lube to.
Oh,
have anybody in mind?
Oh, God.
I was actually going to send you some, big boy.
Nah, I'm all set.
But I will have some for the virtual Christmas party, just so you know.
You will be there.
Not only will I be there, but I'll have my Bacon Lube with me.
Nice.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
It really wouldn't be a party
Ray
without
Ann.
A lot of Bacon Lube.
Rayanne, will you be at the virtual Christmas party?
I will. It's on my to-do list.
Okay, Kathy.
You gotta go. Oh, absolutely.
Kathy, you're a regular now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Rayanne, will you have your pistols and bottle of wine with you again? That's my question.
I don't know. I'll have to decide whether or not I'm drinking and virtualing this year.
It's hard to come up with the right words to describe that, isn't it, Mike?
It was.
I can't find it. I'm sorry. I don't know what area code. What area code is Nashville? I don't know.
Oh, somebody do a Google search. I'm not at my computer.
It's 605, man. So, hey.
She may still have her Cincinnati phone, though.
Yeah, start shutting everybody off one by one.
No.
Hey, with Jerry.
No, and then you just turn them back on.
It's not 949.
No, it's not 949. It's
I think
not
I got it.
Either.
Hey,
5
got the area code.
What was it?
Yeah.
5 what area code?
Yeah. She's gone, right?
Well,
yeah, what
gone.
Area code
yeah.
was that?
513.
Oh,
and it took you that
old.
Long to put that all together?
Yeah.
It's still her old number.
Okay. So, Animal, you were about to say that you were getting kind of pissed off.
Okay, yeah. I forgot to mention it. It came to mind, but my memory's not reliable anymore. I looked at Jennifer's fantastic YouTube channel, but she's got a video there where she comes in to work in a sweater, and she sits down and adjusts her laptop. You know, it's kind of, you know, it's not slick. It's not slick at all. It's so authentic. And she sits down and says, hey, I just came from the dentist, and I want to tell you about referrals. So, I mean, like, really, she's not too fussy about stuff like that. And she doesn't, you know, do a full production when she, you know, puts herself in front of the public. I thought my pictures were fantastic, and that's it. That's all I wanted to say.
Dude, you have
was
to.
Was she numb? Was she explaining why she was drooling?
No, because she was easy to understand.
Women are very fussy about how they're portrayed in any picture, Animal. So you should have asked her to pick some that she could put out there.
Okay.
Like, guys don't care. We all think it's funny.
Okay.
Women don't.
No,
go, you know what I mean?
I test
yeah.
any picture out on all the people I know usually before I put it on the internet.
Yeah.
I mean,
Don,
I was like, do I look silly? Do I look stupid? Is my, you know, my eyes cross-eyed or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's do a quick score for the show because I have to plow the driveway.
How many inches did you guys get?
8.
Oh,
wow.
We only got 5 here in Michigan.
Is that the first time in your life you've
Oakland
had 8 inches, Jerry?
Oh, jeez, God.
You're a class act, Mike. I mean, that's nothing but class. I mean, I can't even answer that. And you know what I mean? Well done.
I just know with your Midwest conservative mentality there, Jerry. It just gets under your skin.
That doesn't get under my skin.
I'm on
I mean,
the
I'll let you make a
I'm
ham of yourself
nervous.
All day long, dude. It doesn't really faze me. Say something else.
Kathy. Jeez, Kathy, get scores, Jerry. Do it.
Yeah, Kathy.
Oh. I wasn't thrilled with this show. I'm gonna give it a C. It was average. I mean, 70. 70. Average.
70 for Cincinnati Recruiter and 70 for Animal?
No, I thought Animal was good, actually. I'll give him a 90.
Wow.
But I thought she was just average.
You know,
I think he got frustrated too quickly, you know?
He started off with asking her recruit call. How many people do we have to ask their stupid line-by-line recruit call?
Hey, look,
I'm
he's
sick
asking
of
questions
so
that he wants.
A stupid
Jerry.
Question off.
No,
yeah, but he's asking
both.
Questions he wants to know. He wants to know that,
yeah.
Right? He's hoping to learn from every
yeah.
guest,
that's
and that's what
that's
he wants
true.
To know.
I know it.
Why don't we all email him with
Dawn's,
our...
Dawn's
ready if you guys
that's
want.
That's a good
okay.
idea, Cormay.
Yeah, let's all
everybody
email
send,
him something.
Everybody send Animal your opening pitch for a recruiting call.
Yes, right. Email it to him.
Hey, Dawn, we're ready for your score.
Okay, my score is... I would say probably 75 on Jennifer.
Yeah.
I think Animal did a great job. The show, Jennifer is capable of a lot more than what came to light in this show.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that there also were not a lot of questions answered. So Cora May has good questions. I would encourage Cora May to talk more. I mean,
oh,
you know, if there's more that you want to see from the show, don't go away disappointed. Try to get that in. I think Animal did a good job in trying to bring it to light and trying to reel in the unproductive talk.
I put my questions on Twitter.
So, Don, what was your score for Animal then? Since he was
I would give Animal a... I'd give Animal a 90.
Wow.
I think he did good.
I'm going to have to write a small kind of an instruction manual for how to give these scores because he certainly does not deserve a 90. But that's my fault, not yours.
Let's start both the ranking.
Jerry, you're lobbying the voters, Jerry.
Am I? I'm just making conversation as we go.
You're lobbying the voters.
Careful, I'll start ranking you too, Jerry.
Okay. Dave, how about some scores?
After hearing everyone talk, I just remember back in 99 and 2000, and there was a lot of people who made their living as internet consultants.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, in the beginning, that just kind of meant that they really knew how to use the internet on a personal level, and they could, you know, make a living teaching people who didn't know how to do it.
Right.
And when you look at now what an internet consultant is, it's a really highly technical, highly specialized job. That requires design skills or programming skills. I mean, it's really not a layperson's job anymore. And I wonder if all of this stuff is going to evolve the same way.
Hmm.
But with that said, Joe is, again, like I think kind of like everyone else, was a little average for me. So I think I'm both 70s.
Mm-hmm. All right. I will not comment or lobby
do I get
on those scores.
Does
Cormay
get to
do
it?
That's because, Jerry, you're not going to lobby or comment because you like Dave's scores.
Look, I have a longer-term plan with my relationship with Dave Manister, okay? It'll unfold years from now.
It'll unfold years from now when I move to Indiana.
There you go, man.
Yeah, there you go.
That's right.
And when pigs fly. When pigs fly.
Okay, Cora May, yes, it is your turn to give us some scores here.
Well, I know Jennifer to be much more, much smarter than what she appeared to be on the show. And I get the feeling that she was not telling us everything she could in a way that most consultants wouldn't, so that we would hire them to tell us what we really want to know.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you think she was like
reserved? Not on purpose. Not on purpose. I don't think she did it on purpose. I don't think so. But I think she's used to talking to people about what she does without giving it away. And I think
right.
Animo wanted
right.
her to give us a couple of things.
Yeah, well, she charges for that, right? So I
yeah.
get that.
And that's how she makes her money. You know, just like,
yeah.
you know, I place people to make my money.
Yeah.
She, this is what she does. And I got the feeling that, you know, because I tweeted a couple questions, and I don't know if anyone was looking at Twitter and bringing them up, but, you know, and of course I called in, but I didn't speak up. I thought my questions would get heard, but, or read. But, you know, so that was kind of tough for me. So her tweets that she does throughout the day are probably better than what we saw on the show.
Mm.
So
isn't
I would give her
the more animals problem than Jennifer's? I mean,
no,
she was only talking about the topics that he brought up. He wants to talk about cupcakes and bacon lube.
Yeah, but she
and
wasn't exposing
call.
Anything, right? She wasn't
yeah.
exposing
she wasn't
anything. I think she
anything.
Forgot. She forgot her audience. Like
mm-hmm.
she forgot who we were, who the
yeah.
listeners are.
I agree.
And that's the problem. You have to kind of gear your presentation, whether or not you're dependent upon answers or questions coming your way. You have to gear it toward your audience. You have
all
to know
right.
your audience. And
so
and,
Cora May won. What were your scores?
Well, I'd give Jennifer 72. I'd give Animo, he tried, I think he tried real hard to pull her out of it.
60.
And when he thought he couldn't, he kind
60.
Of pulled off
Lobby.
To
Lobby.
Whatever was a joke, so
yeah.
80.
Yeah, 60 is a pretty good score.
I didn't say 60.
Oh, scary.
What'd you say? I missed that.
72 and
okay.
Animo, 80.
Okay, thank you, Courtney.
You're welcome.
All righty. Rayanne.
I'm going to give them both 72. It was not a, you know, it wasn't a good show, I don't think.
Would you
so.
Have given them a 72 if Cora May had not given her a 72?
Yeah, I already had my scores. I
okay.
already had them
All
in
right.
my head. Started
Is
out.
Is A-Stringer still with us?
I am, but I'm going to not give scores today.
Ooh, he must have
what?
Really liked it.
Well,
yeah, that means you can
you
give
can't
his scores,
that.
Gary.
No.
What's that?
You have to give scores, man.
Yeah, you stayed for the after show.
If I say why I can't give a score, I'm going to sound really rude, so I'm just going to say that I missed a big part of the show.
Okay. Based on what you heard,
you
need to
score
that part of it. That doesn't matter. Hey, this isn't really scientific, man. You can give me
Well, I'll say it to this way. I've been sitting here since 4 o'clock this morning, and when Animal started screaming about that Verizon recording
yeah.
playing, it quickly dragged me out of a sound sleep. So for what I heard, I'm going to say 70.
Nice.
That was
nice.
Good
reasoning on that one.
here's my scores. You know, I'm about... Maybe I'm just finally worn out with the whole social media recruiting, you know, consulting conference. There's another recruiting conference, probably talking about the very same thing in the very same city next week that there was 2 weeks ago. I'm just worn out on it.
Yeah.
You're worn out? I haven't even gotten into it yet.
65 for Jennifer, though as a person, she's fantastic.
Yeah.
I just yeah. didn't think she really was pumped up for it. Didn't bring anything new to the table.
Didn't
maybe she's busy
audience.
With all of her.
He didn't clients. Remember her audience.
Animal, 60. You know, I mean, we don't want to talk about what somebody used to do. I don't think she was there really. At least I personally, I was interested in what's she doing now. I mean, what is she bringing to her clients? Not how did she used to recruit before whatever reason she decided that wasn't the right career path for her. I don't care about it.
Right.
Yeah, well, she's
right.
only
well,
been doing this
the...
for since April of 2010, so
mm-hmm.
year and a half.
Hmm.
Hey, Jerry,
that's long enough to know what you're doing, though,
yeah,
right?
Who is it?
Yeah, it should be long
Joel.
Enough because before that she worked
yeah.
for
Phil?
A company.
Jeff Lipschultz.
Jeff.
Man,
Jeff.
Where have you been?
Where have you been, Jeff?
Well, I've been around.
You've been social recruiting. You still riding your bike across the country, or did you finish that?
No, it was a while ago. Pretty much done. I agree with your scores, actually, Jerry. You kind of stole mine. But, hey, don't get on a show if you're not going to tell us stuff. So,
right.
yeah, I know your audience is dead on. But, you know, I want to keep my stuff cool. You know, I pay people or people pay me to give away my secrets and all that. But, you know, give us a few. That would be cool.
Yeah.
And because that's primarily why I was on today, to learn something new.
Right.
And I didn't.
Do you feel disenfranchised?
Say again?
Are you disenfranchised at this point?
With social media?
Yeah. No, just with this whole show. With you Ooh. Came here looking for one final thing to try with social media before you bail out on it.
No, I was here a few weeks ago. Like 3 weeks ago I was on. I'm every once in a while.
Okay.
Not every week. I do look at the guests. If I think I'm going to learn something from the guests, I'll jump on. You know, and as far as Animal, hey, Animal, do the singing thing towards the beginning, not in the middle when you're starting
to
build momentum.
Yeah, that's a real letdown.
You know, you're starting to get somewhere. Wait, let's stop the momentum. Maybe we're going to get a good answer. Let's sing.
Yeah.
He used to do that, right at the beginning. Move it back to
there. Right at the beginning, right after he intros them.
Absolutely.
So here's the thing. Are we going to refer anybody to Jennifer?
No.
I don't know what
right?
she's
not based
what
on
she
that.
Would do with them.
Based on our knowledge of her as a person, we might, but not based on the show.
Yeah, I mean, I know her, and I am friends with her on multiple forums, right, and sat next to her on a panel before, and she's very, very intelligent. But I think it was an opportunity for her to engage and teach and maybe build her business a bit. And I don't think
I don't know who her clientele is. I get the feeling it's small companies that are
trying
to...
No, I don't mean us, but each of us comes across somebody
but
maybe could benefit from her skill set, right?
So you're saying that we, as this audience of recruiters and such, would recommend her to small companies to help them recruit better on their own? I don't think that's going to happen.
No. Because she doesn't she goes in and teaches social media and
to whom?
Small business solutions. And
Could just about any of us... frankly, go in and teach a company how to set up a Twitter account, how to set up some searches in case somebody brings up your company name.
Jerry, aren't a lot of us doing
that? I do
it all the time. I'm not teaching anybody that shit.
Well,
no, I do.
Aren't a lot of recruiters spending... How many recruiters do you know, Jerry, personally, that are doing that either as a part-time thing or have given up recruiting to do social media? So when you said disenfranchised...
Oh, there's a pile of them, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
And you know what? And whoever's talking about how to use the internet 10 years ago or whatever, 10 years from now, we'll be laughing about this part, okay?
Exactly.
Not laughing, but kind of like chuckling, like, remember back in
the
day when everybody
was
a social media expert? Remember then?
That's the point Dave was making when he made that statement. So.
Hey,
is
Laura Visser here? Laura?
Hello.
Now, why do you have to tweet, hey, can I say hi? You got to just say hey.
Well, you guys were just rambling on, and I didn't want to interrupt.
Rambling.
Basically.
Rambling.
Yeah, but they all want to hear your sexy voice, Laura.
Hey, but Laura, real quick, though, we need to get Jeff's scores. Did you want to mirror my scores then, Jeff?
Yeah, well, those were the scores I was going to go with. I was going to give 65 to Jennifer and 60 to Animal. Cause
you
I'm,
okay with that, Manister?
With what?
Me clearly influencing Jeff's scores there in advance.
Jerry, I really did have that in mind before you said it.
Okay,
I mean,
I'm just
surprised
make sure Dave was all right.
You didn't clear that everybody had given their scores yet when you mouthed off yours, so you know I was forced to go after you.
Oh, true. Yeah. Well, Laura probably has a couple of scores then, right, Laura?
I'll mimic yours too now that we're influenced by you.
You know what? I actually don't have a score. I was sort of in and out of the show today. Just had a few people come into my office, so I didn't actually get the full show experience. But I guess I just wanted to sort of creep around and say hi to you all because it's been so long.
Yeah, how's it going?
Yeah, things are good. We're super busy here in Calgary. We got 10 centimeters of snow last night, which is always fun. So
10 centimeters? How about that in inches?
Eight.
If you have to ask, you don't
know. Oh, that's... Yeah.
Five.
Jump.
Yeah, it's about five, I guess.
Oh, no.
So she's not as long as Jerry.
Oh, my goodness. My God.
She only got an inch of
snow. Your inch of the snow, or not as much as Jerry's.
They don't call it long.
I was on the show where we were going to get a free trial of that software or whatever the hell.
You don't want even to use that crap. I think that place went out of business.
Well, that was the last time I was on. That wasn't that last
Okay,
time.
I do remember that. They were going to put together
something.
You were going to
take down
our
emails and get us a group discount, remember?
Yeah.
That never happened.
What company
was that? And I followed up with that guy twice.
Did you? All right.
Yeah.
I'm curious about that. All right, good.
Thanks for reminding me. I'll send him a note. It was... What
a
tool
new,
was
a new
that?
Database searching tool that does a better job than everything else you've ever heard
social
of.
Social CV.
Oh, sure.
Social
CV. Yeah, they're still around. They're big in the UK.
Well, is Brave New Talent still around, or did they go belly up? Now, here in the Midwest, we say tits up, but that's That's a farm dog.
I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember saying that when I was in
Chicago. That must be the guys that do that one.
Yeah, most.
Yeah.
I think it's the country folk, really. The country folk.
Is Brave New Town still in business? Or no?
I believe they are.
Of course.
Okay, just checking. Somebody said the after show went off the air.
Well, maybe it's the internet.
Yeah, maybe it's about time we unplugged this thing.
Or maybe Animal unplugged us.
Animal, you still there?
He's still there, I think. He's been tweeting.
Does anybody else have a score that we failed to record here? Anybody?
Anyone?
What about that Nick guy that calls in from time to time?
It was Animal that said that the after show went off the air. It's supposed to stop.
What about Mitch Sullivan? He's on the Twitter screen here.
Mitch?
No. I don't think anybody else is on.
You know, I tell you, I like Mitch Sullivan. I barely know the guy, but I like
his
Twitter bio.
Mm-hmm.
Recruiter. Watches the Arsenal. Drives a Saab with tan leather seats.
Where does he live?
Hates bullshit and cats.
London. He's in London.
Hey. Oh, nice.
Wait, does he hates bullshit and cats?
Yeah, hates bullshit and cats.
Funny. That's funny.
Isn't that synonymous? That's synonymous, right? Sorry.
He must
not
have a Facebook account then.
No,
that's all
he's not friends with all the cat lovers, that's for sure.
I'm still debating on whether to accept a friend invitation on Facebook from Scrubby Rudiman. It's been in my inbox for like 6 weeks.
Keep ignoring it?
Yeah.
Just ignore. Just ignore.
I kind of have a no animals
policy.
Yeah, you
can make lists, Jerry. You can make lists. You can show only who you want to show. You know, unsubscribe. Don't be a hater.
But I think Scrubby is the conservative alter ego for Lori. So
unless we don't know about Scrubby's tattoos, which is possible.
True. That is true. Well, thanks, everybody, for a great show, great after show. I am going to go out and...
The after show is better than the main show.
Oh, it usually is.
That's good.
Mike, A. Stringer, did you like it?
Their rating of the
sleep,
after show now?
Sleep, yeah. No,
he's
I don't care
gone.
About it. Well, everybody have a super
guys,
week. Oh, here's an update on my wife. Hey, Dave Manister.
Yo.
Do you remember last week when I said that my wife was dehydrated? And
he
said, Manny, you need to take her to the hospital. Well, we did go to the hospital shortly after the show, and she spent until Sunday night in the hospital.
Oh, wow.
What? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What was wrong?
Over Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, she had very, very low blood count, hemoglobin, which I learned all about all kinds of different stuff there. But, yeah, crazy stuff, but she's home and doing great. So yeah,
great.
Yeah, take her to the hospital, and we were one of those people hanging out in the hospital on a holiday. It kind of sucked.
Did you put
hospital food
in the oven
on Thanksgiving? That's really sucky.
It wasn't the flu. It was she had just some different shit happening.
That's
not
fun.
That's too bad.
Did you
Never
still have your turkey jam?
You know, I had to.
I had
to coming from all over the Midwest. I mean, And there was nothing I could do with her in the hospital. So Friday evening, I did hang out here. But, yeah, I was back and forth to the hospital, like, several times a day.
So you were Mr. Mom over the holiday, huh?
Yeah, it turns out I'm these kids' parents, and they hang out with me
and
everything.
Jerry,
you know, Jerry, you are.
That's nice.
All right,
we'll
see y'all. Hey, December 21st, virtual Christmas party at 7 p.m. Eastern. Check out jerrytherecruiter.com. JerryTheRecruiter.com. That's all you need to know.
All right. All right.
All right.
Bye.
See y'all. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Just for fun.